Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Tech Investor Podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the technology marketplace. I'm John Brown, editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media. There are more than 3 billion social media users around the world. A company can only truly reach its full potential if it understands the depth of its online presence to connect with this audience. One Canadian artificial intelligence and machine learning company has developed tools to help businesses and agencies fully understand this. Datametrics AI Limited trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol DM and focuses on collecting and presenting data. Its wholly owned subsidiary, Nexology Environics, utilizes these tools to provide data analytics insights to businesses and government agencies. Its core technology, Nexa Intelligence, is a powerful social discovery tool that analyzes millions of data points from numerous social media platforms. This technology is offered as a Software as a Service Solution Package, or SaaS, SaaS, to government agencies and retail brands. Sometimes referred to as on-demand software, SaaS is a delivery model where software is licensed on a subscription basis and is centrally hosted. Nexa Intelligence utilizes a social discovery engine that analyzes data to find new audiences, trends, risks, and voters, and also removes spam, streamlining what people need to see, filtering out the junk. The global social media analytics market is expected to reach $16.3 billion by 2023, according to a Research and Markets report. For companies and government agencies who want to fully understand their online influence and identify fake news, this technology has all the right applications. Stockhouse caught up with Datametrics CEO Marcel Gunther to learn more. So thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. And to start, can you just run us through what your software as a service offers?
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. So our software was built on a platform called Nexa Intelligence. We have the next evolution of that. It's called Nexa Security. What it is an open source intelligence threat assessment and protection platform at its core. But we also do work in the private sector, and we can talk about that in a bit. It has been built in conjunction with the Canadian government and defense research over the past 5 or 6 years and NATO. It's been deployed for years. It's battle tested and literally military grade social media intel technology. We use the latest in AI techniques to expose both real and cyber security threats before they manifest, and to just comb through the mountains and mountains of data that is social media.
Also want to touch on your on-site offerings as well.
We do the software as a service for most of our clients. There's a couple reasons for that. Like with some of our defense related clients, that has to be in secure facilities and things like that. So we run them there. But additionally, in the last 6 months, we've built the software on what's called containers. And so let me try to make this really clear. With containers, we're able to run the software anywhere from a laptop all the way out to the largest clouds there are. Now, the reasons we were doing this basically single-fold. We wanted to expand into new geographic territories, and we were having a hard time doing that due to data locality requirements. For instance, the United States market, you're not going to do any business with any kind of serious player down there, whether it's the military or any of the alphabet agencies, such as like the Department of State or the Department of Defense or any of those guys, with the data in Canada. They're just not going to allow their data to go to Canada. Not happening. So we built this so we can have these installations everywhere. And that's allowed us to branch out both into like the U.S. market, into the South Korean market, and currently we're looking at opportunities in the Middle East. So if you want to host this, you can even give it to your developer to do work on their laptop, and it can be whitelisted and white labeled with whatever you would like it to be.
Interesting. And building off that, how can SaaS benefit government agencies and also retail brands?
Well, let me give you some use cases for that one. So as far as government agencies are concerned, I'll touch on like both the military style stuff and some of the other agencies. For the military, Nexology was one of six companies worldwide tapped by NATO to work on the social media aspect of, say, Operation Trident Juncture. All right. So that was about a year and a half ago. And what it was the largest joint forces operation by NATO since the Cold War. And about this time, you know, some of the relations with Russia were flaring up, like you had the Crimea events and a few things like that. And NATO got worried that we're going to throw thousands of troops and tanks and planes and ships and everything into the North Sea right on Russia's front doorstep with all this going on. This is going to get out of hand and become, you know, a prelude to war, or at least that's how it's going to be seen online. But they'd already done, it takes a long time to get something like this together among, you know, all the NATO countries and all the participants and troops and everything else that need to be marshaled. And so they didn't want to throw away, you know, 2 years of logistics and not do it. So one of the things they did, they came and they used our tech to help monitor and control the narrative online. So, you know, they were really transparent with the public, with what they were doing. And as they were putting out this information on various channels, whether it's, you know, traditional media or social media, they're using, you know, Nexus Intelligence and Nexus Security to track the impact of that on the public. And by doing this, they were able to successfully keep the message on mark. No, this is just an exercise. It's normal. We're not doing anything out of the ordinary. You know, they were worried about Russian disinformation getting into the public sphere. They were able to monitor that, see how it flowed, control its impact, and, you know, keep everything fairly stable during the 6 months leading up to the operation and to the operation itself. So that's one way that it's been used by the government. Another way, for instance, we work a lot with Health Canada. Health Canada uses this to monitor public reactions to various aspects of, you know, Canadian life. For instance, when the vaping started up a few years back, and, you know, Canada as a whole was not prepared. There was no legislation around this. We didn't understand the impacts of this new tech. And so Health Canada uses us to track what people were saying across social media to help make informed policy decisions around vaping. And it's also being used in a similar fashion around, you know, cannabis, which has been legalized recently federally. That's some public sector companies that we're talking about, but we're talking about retail brands. I've got a really good one. There's a shoe company in Quebec. They came to us and they said, look, we're trying to expand into new markets and it's failing. Now, up until this point, they had primarily targeted workers. So they're in stores where you're selling work boots to construction groups and, you know, mostly people like that. And so we said, okay, well, let's take this apart and go look and see what people are saying about your brand. Well, after studying this, they found two huge markets that they had completely ignored and were unaware of. One of which was recreational vehicles. So these boots were extraordinarily popular with people that are like snowmobiling and riding, you know, all-terrain vehicles, this type of work, or just stomping around in the brush. And they were also extraordinarily popular with certain subsects of women as fashion statements. And they had no idea about this. So if you go now, they have multiple lines targeting women, multiple lines targeting recreational vehicles. They've gotten in stores like Harley Davidson and things like that, and were able to expand their market threefold. So 300%, just by taking a week to study how their social media was working.
Interesting. You're finding a market that they didn't even know existed. and doing so, I guess that can definitely change the outlook of their business and effectively change their business as a whole if they find something that's valuable to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It allowed them to build entirely new verticals.
And your technology does this by looking through more than 500 million tweets, 85 million blogs, 8.8 million Facebook pages. How challenging is it to sift all this out, find this data, eliminate fake news? And I know you've got quite a bit of experience in this dating back to previous technology. Is there any kind of overlap or is this comparable? Old problem, new tricks, you could say?
It's definitely old problem, new tricks. And a lot of the public doesn't realize this because this problem has been around as long as the electronic communications have been around. You said a lot of thing. I've been in this space for over 20 years. Most of the sifting and studying of this type of data, you know, originated with email. And as email communications expanded, the need to understand it, catalog it, take it apart, expanded along with it. This branched into, say, SMS, text messaging, and phone calls, which you've probably seen, you know, like in the revelations about the U.S. government and the NSA and things like that. This has been going on for decades. And social media and traditional media are just an extension of it now. Now, the big thing that has changed over those, you know, decades, it's not so much the workload. I mean, people were talking about petabytes and things like that. Obviously, 20 years ago, computers weren't as powerful, but they just threw more of them at the problem, and it worked. But what has changed is how connected people are and the types of things that are being dedicated onto these pages. So the language has evolved quite a bit. That's one of the big, that is really one of the big tricks, is the language is ever evolving on the internet. You have to keep up with it. We have all kinds of new language constructs today that weren't there. It was a lot of effort to dedicate, you know, information in the email prior to, say, social media and everybody having a smartphone in their pocket. And now, the amount of, it's the same trick, the amount of data has exploded. That's one thing, because there's, as I said, everybody has a smartphone in their pocket, so now everybody's a publisher, right? Everybody on the planet, basically, is a publishing house. And they're publishing, you know, their viewpoints you know, several times a day to various platforms. And as they do that, like I said, the language changes. We have different things to indicate language. Like when we were doing this in the email in, I don't know, 2001, there weren't emojis running around. There's those two. And the other thing that's proving really challenging, and the latest challenge, I think, in the space is video. Text analysis is very old, all right? So this has been going on for a very long time. We've had linguists, even in, you know, in the academic field for a very long time. The ability to extract meaning from video using a machine is very new. And this is where the tech is going. And that's what I think the next challenge is coming up on the horizon, is our ability to do that. And you're starting to see, you know, bits of this in the field with, like, say, facial recognition technology and things. And that's going to be the next horizon.
Interesting. And playing off that for a bit, what can investors expect from Datametrics over the next year?
Okay, so one of the things we're actively working on, as of last year, we were contracted by, you know, the DRDC, which is Defense Research in Canada, to look at the Canadian elections. Now, the reason they wanted to do that is they were concerned about the impact of disinformation in the social media space. So in conjunction with them, starting last April, so in 2019, we began building tools to identify and track disinformation as it grows and spreads online. So when I say disinformation, think, you know, fake news, right? That's the buzzword ever since Trump brought it up in his election. So our first use case for that was the Canadian election. The results we published in conjunction with Defense Research and NATO, and you can find that on the datametrics.com website. There's a link there. So if you want to read the results for yourself, feel free. And then this was turned over to, you know, government affairs and Elections Canada for processing. We are continuing that work. So this tech is able to identify, you know, the publishers of this information, how it spreads, how it grows, and then how fast it's growing, and then the types of posts and things that are resonating with people. Now, what this, we are continuing this, and we're moving it into the U.S. market currently. So we already have one contract with the U.S. Air Force. The United States as a, the United States government as a whole is very concerned about disinformation campaigns and that, despite what you may see on, you know, some of the television. I do, you know, for, I know for a fact there's literally, there's billions of dollars being invested in this, in countering misinformation in the 2020 election. So we are slated to go see the U.S. Air Force Cyber Command next month. This is through our NATO working group. We have contact with them. They're interested in looking at our tech as we continue the development with defense research in NATO to see how it's applied in the 2020 U.S. election. So we expect those fake news filters and everything. This is Gen 2 that we applied in 2019. We're going to improve them even further. And with that, we're going to be using this both to expand that footprint in the United States. We're in talks with a few people in the Middle East and probably Korea at this point.
Interesting. That's huge news. Datametrics also pending its approved vendor status to the entire U.S. federal government as well. Just as you mentioned, spending $85 billion onto this tech recently. What kind of, the kind of opportunities do you see this opening up for your company?
Well, we just completed what's called the GEC, and this is about a two-year process to get on what's called an approved vendors list in the United States. So what it'll do, if, you know, we're pending approval now, so we've been through the vetting process. We went to the interviews and the presentations in December right before the holiday. And what this will allow us to do is bypass a lot of the vetting process with the United States government agencies. So, for instance, when we got this Air Force contract we're talking about, there's a long vetting process to make sure that, you know, we are who we say we are. We're not a malicious company. We're, you know, there's a lot of background checks that have to go on and stuff like that, because they are going to be using us to process sensitive information. If we get on the approved vendors list, this eliminates that for everybody that is associated with the vendors list. So all the alphabet agencies in the U.S., so think like the CIA, the NSA, the Department of State, the Department of Justice, all the military branches, all the intelligence branches, can just come to us and order the software without going through that 6 to 12 month vetting. So that's one of the major focuses of 2020 for us, is breaking into that market.
Great. And as you mentioned, Datametrics has been growing its presence in Asia, specifically South Korea, by diversifying revenue streams through targeting these small cap public companies, ad buy offerings. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. This is one of the use cases also that is very prevalent in the private sector. So by having the ability to mine all these conversations and such online, we can use our technology to very effectively target ad buys. Now, this is done almost all over the place in the private sector. We have cannabis companies that do this. And we've most recently been using this technique, you know, to hit some investors and other things in Asia. And this is how it works. Almost all ad buy campaigns are mostly carpet bombing shotgun approaches, right? So you get certain demographics and then you snatch up as many contact points, those demographics, as you can find, whether it's social media or it's email or any other way to contact them. And then you fire your message and you hope they read it. This has a click-through rate, or usually about 1%, sometimes 2%. That's it. And that's considered an effective campaign. We do something very different. We not only can use the targeting mechanisms of demographics and such, but we can also get at what people are actually discussing and what they're talking about. And this is really important. The reason is, if you know the audience that's talking about something, you know, just even as just tangential to your subject matter, they are going to be more likely to consume your information than the people who are not. For instance, with, like I said, the cannabis companies most recently, they came to us wanting to target people for medical cannabis reasons. So they went online, they started looking around for people who are talking about, say, opioids or back pain or any of the other things that medical cannabis can be used for. Constructed their messages, fired those out there. They were trying to avoid, you know, the kids that are talking about, hey, it's after school, let's go, you know, smoke some weed or whatever. That was not their target audience. They wanted to miss them completely. So we filtered all that out. And they're seeing like click-through rates up to 17%. So it's more like a rifle approach rather than a shotgun. It's way more accurate. You get a lot higher click-through rate. And we've been using the same technique in South Korea to both advertise and to attract new business.
I've been speaking with Datametrics CEO Marshall Gunter. Thank you so much for your time today. It was really a pleasure to talk to you and learn more about your business and what you've got going on. It sounds very exciting.
Yeah, thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Datametrics is capitalizing on numerous opportunities in the predictive analytics space with its software as a service platform. The need for AI and machine learning plays key roles in analyzing various data formats, and that will benefit businesses as well as this company's bottom line. For the Stock Talk Tech Podcast, I'm John Brown. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence before making an investment decision.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.